Hello, everyone. Welcome to Dallas Hoops Fancast. I'm your host, Sydney. I'm here with my co-host, Martin.
Hey, guys.
Twitter, website.
Wow.
DallasHoopsCast.com. Other things.
You want to redo this intro?
No, I'm good. Okay. I feel like I should preface this episode by saying that I might not be the voice of reason here.
You're hurting.
There's other great pods for that. Numbers on the Boards is great. The Four Pointer, also great. Good podcast for that. This one, I don't know why this loss frustrates me so much. I don't know.
Like, I don't either.
You know, you win some and you lose some. And for some reason, this one, it just... And I think, okay, here's my theory. I think it's because every time they lose, it's the same thing that gets them. And I think it just... You get frustrated seeing the same thing. It's not like, you know, whatever, maybe one was a game winner or one some crazy thing happened or one you had a collapse or, you know, it's not like those things happen. But for the Mavs, it's like every loss, it's the same thing that keeps happening. And I'm like, at what point are we going to,
I mean,
are you going to stop doing those things or recognize that you need to do things differently?
I believe the Mavericks are way better in the clutch the last couple of clutch games that
yes,
we've had.
Yes, I will agree with that. Yeah.
They're actually getting some shots now to fall for them.
They stick to their offense better,
yes,
I think.
The problem, I mean, they're still having a problem with free throws.
Yes.
And the free throws is just, it's just got to, you just got to make them.
And Luka.
Yeah, you just got to make Luka one for five.
One for five on free throws.
But they made plays at the end of the game. They took a one-point lead. They were doing everything they possibly needed to do. In every game, you can only make so many plays. And they made the play to give them the lead. The problem is, on the other end of the court...
Their defense, yeah.
And unfortunately, right now, and really this whole season, in my personal opinion, the field goal percentage for opposing teams against the Mavs in the clutch is ridiculous. They seem to make every single shot against the Mavericks in the clutch. Even if they're wide open, they shouldn't be making them this much. And they just, they've been making every single shot against them. And so even if tonight they made plays, now granted, the Jazz are a great team. The Jazz are a good team. And they just made one final play more than the Mavs.
So I think their defense sucks. And that's why, like, in the course of the game, in a normal game, their offense is so good they can outscore anyone. But their defense is not very good that entire time.
Yep.
So when it becomes a close in the clutch, when your shots naturally just don't fall as much, they can't outscore teams because they don't play defense. And it's like...
And other teams
do.
They clamp up
and yeah, and that's when you should. Like, the last 2, 3, 4 minutes of a game is when your defense should... You should take it to another level, and the Mavs just don't.
Well, and you don't have to be the best defensive team in the league, but you got to be...
In that time frame,
in that time period, you got to be able to get stops.
Put the clamps on.
And yeah, they can't do that. I guess I'm not... I'm frustrated with the loss, especially because we had a 5-point lead. But at the same time, I'm not like other losses that we've had this season, like the one against the Hornets or against the Kings earlier.
Or the two against the Knicks.
Or the Knicks. Like those ones bother me a lot more. This one is like, you know, you go into Salt Lake City, they're 17-3 at home. You do everything you can to try to pull out a win, and you happen to fall short, but you were right there the entire time. And you basically did what 21 other teams have done when they've gone up there. Only three have won. So,
and I guess, okay, in that context, yes. But it was still the same thing that has happened. Like, okay, you could say...
Yes. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, you could say, like, yeah, this was just... They were in Utah, it's tough. It's like, well, they could be anywhere. They could be in New York, and they would do the same thing. They make the same... executional mistakes, and that's what's frustrating.
Well, and the last couple of clutch games, it's been on the defensive end.
Yeah.
Offensively, like, yes, they still have a stupid turnover, but it's not three turnovers in a row.
Yeah, they didn't have the Mavs classic stepping out of bounds when you catch the ball.
Yes.
Like, freaking look. How long have you been playing basketball? You don't know where the out of bounds line is. Sorry. What else were you saying?
This is what I deal with everyday life.
No, okay. So like, but it's the same. It's the missed free throws. It's the bad defense. It's the not like shooting bad threes. Like Luka was 2 for 10 tonight on 3-pointers, and he's had
2 for 11 in the last game.
Yeah, and it's like he's gotten into this mindset somewhere, just out of nowhere. He has decided I need to shoot 15 threes a game, regardless of whether or not they go in. I need to shoot those, and it's just like, just stop, please. And the complaining to the officials, it's annoying. It's very annoying, and I think that gets to him mentally. It has to. Like,
well, yeah.
If you're complaining that much, it's got to be in your head, at least in the back of your mind. Like, how does that affect his focus while he's playing? And so it's these things that, yeah, I know you miss threes or you miss free throws. It happens. But it's the same thing every time. It's the missed free throws. It's taking too many three-pointers. It's complaining about the officiating. It's letting things get to your head. I'm really tired of seeing it. And so, I have feelings about the things.
Remember what you were like at 20.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was pretty awesome at 20. Yes, I'm going to be honest.
Okay, yeah. Exactly. Hey, you have the same mentality as Luka.
You thought I was awesome at 20.
What I'm saying is...
Are you saying I'm not awesome anymore?
Okay, my point is, he's 20 years old.
Yeah.
He's in...
Well, and... Okay, I'll let you finish.
Yes.
And then I'll...
He's 20 years old.
Yes.
And whenever I was 19, 20 years old, and I'd be playing basketball...
Before you went pro?
No.
Almost.
Okay. Can I make a serious point?
Sorry,
or
are
you
sorry.
Just... You get a rant on and then...
Sorry.
Okay.
Okay. When you played basketball.
Yes. And then I would drive to the lane and they would foul me really, really hard or push me to the ground because they knew that was the only way they could get me to stop scoring. Not saying that I was great or anything, but, you know, I was pretty good at scoring the ball.
Well, it could get in your head.
And it got in my head and I wouldn't play as well. And that's what happens when you are 19, 20, 21 years old.
Yeah.
And he'll eventually grow out of that. I'm not saying it's not frustrating, but it's just, it's part of having a 20-year-old lead your franchise.
So I agree with all of that. And I think that's part of it, I am frustrated by all of these things. And in the moment, I'm like, why can you not, if I can see this, you've got to be able to see it. But also, I recognize that these are the mistakes that a young team makes. Young teams do not know how to execute in the clutch.
Yeah.
Young teams think that they can just shoot their way to a victory every time. They don't recognize the importance of playing defense. Young players, they keep shooting because they think the next one's going in. They keep complaining to the officials because they think that works. Like, all of this is because you have a young team and a young superstar. And I get that long term. I understand that things are going to be fine. But it's every time. It's just,
well, think about this. Old. And when Luka's 27 and Porzingis is 29 and they're 30 and 13 like the Jazz are,
mm-hmm.
and a young up-and-coming team comes and play them,
yeah,
they're not having it.
Yeah.
They're going to win that game. Or when they face the Clippers or the Bucks or whoever these teams are,
they're going to be battle.
They're going to be the ones that take over at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, unfortunately, it's frustrating to have to go through this. But again, nobody wins in Utah. We were right there to win it, and we just didn't happen to win it.
It's like, you know, your point about when they are an older team. It's like, I remember when the Thunder were a young team, and they were so cocky. They were just so, these cocky little dudes on the court, Westbrook, it would annoy you so much, but you knew you really had nothing to worry about because when
at
it came to
the
crunch
game,
time,
yes.
Kevin Durant would just jack up 5 threes because he thinks they're going to go in, and Westbrook would do some crazy, stupid thing they didn't know how to execute, and you knew you had nothing to worry about because you were the steady veteran team that was going to clamp down when
you
needed to.
Yes, at the
end
of the game.
You were going to make those shots. And so it's like, yeah, I do get that part of it, that the Mavericks are in that phase of being a young team. But
I think we just have to accept we're not winning the championship this year.
No, we're not.
We're not. We're just not good enough. And when we face the Clippers, or in this case, the Jazz, I guess would be a step ahead of the Mavs. Well, at the end of the games, they are the ones that are executing, and we're not. That's just it. Now, the Mavericks are going to win a lot of games. They're going to be a lot of fun, but they're going to have moments like that where on the road in a hostile environment, they can't always perform.
Or in a close game.
They don't always deliver.
Like you said, their offense in the clutch has been better. Like in the past, everything just
fell apart.
They're
actually at least...
They play their offense. They have really good ball movement.
Yeah. And right now it's their defense.
Yeah. But I mean, at least they're sticking to their plan. They're not crumbling on offense. But yeah, their defense. And that's an area where they can upgrade. And I think this is another reason why I'm frustrated is because, okay, two things. One, I think that there's areas where they can upgrade, obviously. But I feel like this past summer, they could have done that through free agency, and they didn't, even though those guys were available. And so now it's like seeing like the consequences of that. It just makes it even more frustrating. And then two, knowing their whole plan of like saving cap space and going for Giannis, and the way that they always try to get players on the cheap and only go after superstars, like knowing that that's in the future frustrates me even more, even though that hasn't even happened yet. But I feel like these places where they need to make upgrades, they might not do it because of the way that they build teams. And it's like, even though it hasn't happened, and maybe I'll be wrong about the way they do it, I think that frustrates me. Like, that's why I get even more frustrated when I see like, oh, I think, you know, at the guard position, we need a guy that's a better defender. But then I think about, okay, how are they going to do that? And then I just, you know, get frustrated because I know how they
so they're going to miss out on Giannis, and then they're going to be like, okay, well, in 2 years, this guy is available.
Yeah, it's just
I don't know what they're going to do. What I will say, the thing that concerns me the most is Luka, and that not because I don't think he's great or whatever, but it's clear they need somebody else that can be a primary ball handler. Not a primary ball handler, just a playmaker, somebody that can take some of this burden off of him, because over the last couple of weeks, his field goal percentage, his three-point percentage, his free throw percentage has steadily gone down. Now, his numbers are staying pretty high, but his percentages are just, they're just dropping. And especially in late game situations, he gets trapped and double teamed, and it's forcing other players to make shots. And I love Maxey and
Hardaway
and Dorian. But if that's Klay Thompson or Draymond Green or Andre Iguodala, you know, I'm a lot happier with that. Yeah. I feel like then you can make plays. But they need somebody else that can make plays consistently. That way, if Luka, and that's another thing Luka's going to have to learn. When it's not your night and somebody else is on fire, run it through them.
Yeah.
Give them. And I think Seth Curry was playing well tonight. He had... He was making good plays. He was making smart decisions.
Yeah.
He was efficient. He was being aggressive. I felt like you could have try and rely on Seth a little bit more towards the end of the game. And I know people will say, no, your star player has got to be the guy closing the game. Look, even the all-time greats, if another guy had it going, they took the night off. They were happy. I mean, seriously, they were happy that they didn't have to go out there and do it again.
Yeah.
And I felt like he's going to have to learn how to do that. I thought Porzingis hit a huge shot. Why not try that again,
that
especially
shot.
Because, Luka, you're not making anything.
Well, and that's my thing is, like, okay, so you talked about how they need another playmaker because of the way that defenses play Luka. And that is true. It's okay. Maybe my point is moot. But I think that what contributes to Luka struggling is that he takes bad three-pointers in those situations.
Yes.
He just continues to jack up step-back threes. And he will drive it sometimes and be aggressive, but it's, you know, if they don't call a foul, he can't make the shot, he complains, it gets into his head. And so I think in some ways he takes himself out of the game.
And I 100% agree.
Yeah.
And I think, again, to my point earlier, that's a product
player.
Of having
a
20-year-old leading your franchise, is those moments are going to happen.
I think that would happen, at least, you know, right now while he's young. I think that would happen even if they had, you know, Bradley Beal or even a Gallinari. I think that would still happen because he hasn't learned that lesson yet.
Well, he might make those decisions. But, you know, this is the decision you have to make as a franchise. Because if you do bring in a Kemba Walker this last offseason, who's going to have the ball at the end of the game? It's going to be Kemba. And it's not because maybe Kemba's not...
Why? Because he's a point guard?
No, but because he knows how to close games. Yeah. Because he's been in the league for 7-8 years. He knows what decisions to make.
Yeah.
And so do you sacrifice Luka's development for that? Now, yeah. I think not getting Kemba Walker was the best thing to ever happen to the Mavs. Because I don't think they expected the Mavericks, and they've even said this, they didn't expect Luka to be this good. And I think if you had Kemba, it would have slowed his maybe, growth a little bit. And so now you just let him
trial by fire.
Yeah, let him go
well,
and do
it. And Carlisle said in his post-game comments basically the same thing. He said they're a young team. They're getting a lot of experience right now. He said he talked about playing in Utah and how difficult that is and how they're learning things right now as a young team. So like they recognize it too, and Carlisle recognizes it. And
as a fan, though, you don't want any excuses.
Yeah, and like I recognize it too. Like I get it, but just you know, as my comments after the game, this is how I feel about the game. I know long term they're gonna learn but just for this game, it was frustrating.
It absolutely sucked. It was another game we had a 5-point lead late in the game.
Yeah.
And you just watch it crumble away. And like you, to your point, the same stupid decisions or the same missed free throws late in a game or a turnover or complaining.
Or a bad three-pointer.
Or a bad three.
Yeah. And or it's their like, defense getting just blown by on defense or a guy is wide open.
Yes.
And it's just like...
At that, Tim Hardaway really struggled to guard Donovan Mitchell late in this game. And
their pick and roll defense, or not even pick and roll, just their defense on picks, they always go under or play it soft.
Well, they don't have guys that can fight through screens. They don't have defensive-minded guys.
But the going under, I feel like that's a scheme.
It's a laziness.
I don't know.
That's
think
a laziness.
It happens every single time that I feel like Carlisle would tell
them.
Well,
maybe he's saying like, look, our guys suck at going over them.
So
I mean, seriously. Yeah,
I don't know.
You guys can't fight through a screen, so just go under it.
Yeah, their defense is just not a priority right now. And you got guys like DeLon and Dorian, who I know are better defenders, but the team just does not care about defense right now. So nobody plays good defense except for Curry. He's the only guy who ever gets low in a stance, you know, and like,
Hardaway will, but he's just
not every time, not sometimes.
And he has very poor lateral movement. Like sometimes he just is still standing there while his guy's at the basket.
Yeah. And I mean, some of the guys, like Kleba is a skilled defender, and he actually does really good. I should mention him too. But Dorian is a skilled defender, and DeLon, they are skilled, but they don't always do that. You don't always see the effort, and it's like, and they're going to have to learn. You cannot just shoot your way to a win every time. You're going to have to play defense.
You're going to have to learn how to play ugly, win ugly.
Yeah, to win ugly.
And they don't have that yet.
So anyways,
they don't have it. They'll be fine. Breathe.
Yeah, I'm okay. I don't know. It's just like, and like I said, I think it's just because it's the same thing. And so if it were like one time seeing it, it'd be like, oh, I wish that hadn't happened. But when it's like the 10th time, it's like, really, guys, we're still doing this.
This is part, you know, what we were talking about before, why Westbrook really never became more, because
He never got it. He still doesn't get it.
He, in his mind, he was as good of a shooter as Seth Curry.
Yeah.
And so he
means Steph Curry. Or
Steph,
Seth Curry.
Yes, as Steph.
Yeah.
And so he would shoot shots that he really cannot make consistently.
Yeah.
And 9 games in a row, he'll miss it. But on that 10th game, he'll make it and the crowd will go nuts and he'll scream and pound his chest and he's just the greatest ever.
Yeah.
But you know, he misses it so frequently, and it's like you have to resist that temptation to shoot a bad shot.
Well, and honestly, Luca is going through the same thing, yeah. And he'll have to learn it. Because remember the other a couple episodes ago, we were talking about how he was struggling from the three-point line. Yeah, and then kind of learned to stop shooting it. And then against the Clippers,
fine. It was Portland.
Where he was like on fire from the three-point line.
That was the Clipper game, I think.
So yeah. He was like on fire from the three-point line. But then before that, he had like 10 games where he struggled. And then in the two or three games since then, he struggled. And it's like, dude, just because it went in that one game, that doesn't mean you need to keep shooting them. Like, it's going to go in.
Well, and really, the main thing is recognizing the timing. If you are 1-for-6 or 1-for-7 and you've missed 6 in a row, maybe that's not the time at the end of a game to do that. Now, if you've made them throughout the game,
that's different.
And you do a step back, that's fine. That's your shot. But if you've missed,
if it's in rhythm.
Yes. But if you've missed 6 in a row, a step back probably not, it's just not falling that night.
Yeah.
And again, those are things that you learn.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. On to like actual analysis
of the game. Yes.
Okay. This was the second game. I feel like we're just moving on from like me being hyper emotional to now like, so what did you think about Porzingis? But okay, for real, this was the second game where Porzingis started at the five. And we talked, I think, last episode about how we really like that kind of offense. The first game that we saw it, they did great. What did you think about this game? That five out offense, Porzingis at the five.
I mean, I love it. I mean, you saw that. I mean, I know Gobert had a monster game, but it's Rudy Gobert. Yeah. There's only you. What you have to do is anything you possibly can to take him out of a game. Yeah. You're just great players. You're not going to take out of a game or out of their play. But it did force them to play weird defense at the end of the game. So you had Gobert guarding Dorian instead of Porzingis. And then that's why you saw Carlisle take Dorian out. And so now Gobert went right back to guarding Porzingis.
Because otherwise he would have been guarding Hardaway.
Exactly.
Who can make a play.
Yeah, exactly. And so it just puts so much pressure on the defense of the other team. And the Jazz happened to be a great defensive team. Who knows how it would have went if they, you know, had to. And another thing that may influence it is that this is only their second game without Dwight.
Well, and also, I mean, okay, aside from the clutch situation and the crunch time offense and defense,
they were winning
like the offense was working. They had stretches where they were up by 10 or 11, or you know, the Jazz kept coming back and they would rattle off 6 straight or whatever. Like, the offense worked really well. I didn't see any problems with it. Now, like, defensively,
it wasn't even that bad defensively.
Yeah,
except at the end in the clutch time is when it was bad.
Yeah.
So the fourth quarter wasn't good.
Worked. And I think the losing in the crunch time is because that's what always happens.
Yeah. Well, you don't scratch it after losing in Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
If you did that, every team would switch up their starting lineup.
Yeah, true.
So
I thought it worked great.
I like it. I think that is going to be the lineup that they go with the rest of the season.
I think, you know, again, and you were talking about starting Seth, how that also helps fix this log jam at guard coming off the bench. Yeah. It was like this pressure valve. You had Brunson and Curry and DeLon and all these guards, and there's only like 15 minutes available of replaying, and you had to. But with starting Curry, it just releases all of that, and Brunson and DeLon can just, they have play. More minutes. Yeah, they can play. I thought that worked well. I did notice sometimes where, like, because they only had one big out there, if a guy was like beat on a pick and roll, or if Porzingis had to come over to help, then the basket was just wide open.
Well, part of playing small is you have to have great wing defenders. And true. The Mavericks just don't have that.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, you just really, when you're playing this lineup, you're hoping that you can get some stops when they're available, but you're really planning on outscoring the team.
Yeah.
And against a really, really good team at home, like the Jazz, that's probably not going to work. But again, they had that lead all the way at the end of the game. They had a 5-point lead, I think, 2.5 minutes to go. And they just happened to lose it, just like they've done in the past. So, you know, I think, yes, they're going to have some limitations defensively, but I think that's more of the wing defenders that they have. Tim Hardaway. Yeah. is just not a very good defender.
He's not a good defender. And you can see...
And Luke is not a very good defender.
Like, that's an area where eventually they need to upgrade that, is that Hardaway is... He's great on offense.
I love him.
I like him a lot.
He's just not good enough.
He's just not a good defender. And that's the thing, is like, you can't be emotional about it. Like, the fact is, he's not a good defender. And this is so classic. If you have a point guard that's dominant offensively, mm-hmm. you know he's not going to expend a lot of energy on the defensive end.
And you don't want him to.
Yeah, you have to have another wing defender, whether it's the two or the three. But you have to have, well, preferably both, but you have to have wing defenders that can lock down the perimeter.
Well, and it goes back to...
Well, and also, I'm sorry, and also make plays. I'm not saying we need defense only, but where they need to upgrade with Hardaway is a guy that is that good offensively, but is also a very good defender.
I mean, I would say that you should always try to upgrade every position, regardless of your emotional attachment. And I think if you, this goes back to the beginning of the season, what was everybody's mindset with Tim Hardaway? Sixth man.
Yeah.
They wanted him to be the sixth man. I'm not saying we need to bench him. That's not what I'm saying. I think he's been great as the starter. But I think on a championship team, he's a bench guy.
Yeah.
A really good bench guy, but he's a bench guy. Or the fifth starter on a team.
Yeah.
And right now we rely a lot on Tim Hardaway to help us win. And I think championship-level teams, Hardaway would be their sixth man coming off the bench, make plays. For example, let's say you slide in Klay Thompson, and now you have Hardaway coming off the bench. Think about how much that improves your team overall.
Yeah.
Hardaway's still going to play a vital role that he would have to accept, but now you have an elite defender and shooter in Klay Thompson on that starting lineup. It just makes the team so much better. So... Also with Dorian. I love Dorian, but, you know, is Dorian playing on the Bucks? Is he playing on
the
Lakers?
Well, it depends on who else is on the roster.
On the Clippers? I mean, but I'm just saying, those teams have such good players that does he get minutes on the Clippers or the Bucks or Philadelphia?
Yeah, I don't know. Every team, every championship team has this random guy that's just, you know.
Yes, but that random guy is actually a pretty good player, but he just happens to come off the bench. For example, Sean Livingston with Golden State.
True.
Iguodala was, you know, an all-star essentially coming off the bench for. And I don't know why I can only think of Golden State when I'm thinking of my examples.
I was going to say, like, you know, when we say if that were Klay Thompson or whatever, the only reason we use that example,
he's the prototypical guy
it's
that
just,
we're thinking
it's
of.
Just to help you visualize what we're describing, like the kind of player we're describing.
Well, one of the guys that I thought that I really liked in the offseason, and I really wish the Mavericks would have made an effort to get him, was Bogdanović.
Yeah, for the
Bojan
Jazz.
Bogdanović, the really good one. Not that Bogdan's not, but Bojan's on another level. Yeah. Bojan's in my opinion, Bojan should be considered to be an all-star this year. He's averaging over 20 points a game, one of the best three-point shooters in the game, and his team is 30. And
tonight, he had 23 points on 6-for-16 shooting.
Yeah, I mean, he's averaging 21 points on the season. He's shooting almost 42% from three, 90% from the free throw line. But you throw him in that small forward slot over Dorian, and yes, everybody's going to say, well, the defense is going to suffer. Maybe we should actually look at Bojan's defense and not just automatically assume, because he's a Euro, that he's not a good defender.
Yeah,
He's been on now 2 years in a row on winning teams, and he's averaging 20 points a game on winning teams. Clearly, this guy's good.
Yeah.
And I wish that the Mavericks would have signed him. I mean, the dude's averaging 21 points a game on a 30-13 team. Put him on the Jazz, and he might average 30 on the Hawks. And he might average 30 points a game.
What did you think about Porzingis tonight?
Today? I thought the Mavericks as a team, they don't look for him enough.
Yeah.
There's so many opportunities when he sets a screen, especially
he's
tonight.
Open.
Wide open.
And they don't...
They just don't look for him. They all look for their... They all in their mindset is thinking, oh, Porzingis is up there. That means I get a layup. Yeah. And instead, they should be looking to drop the pass back to him for a wide open three. And I thought they had four or five opportunities
Same.
Where they could have done that. I thought Luka had one where He decided to attack Gobert instead of
terrible decision.
It was a bad decision.
There was also one at the end where Luka got in trouble with the ball and eventually lost it. But coming off that, I think that was a pick and, with Porzingis where he was open.
It was Porzingis. And this is really starting to bother me with this. I love analytics. I do. But you can't only consider analytics. And now the Mavericks as an organization, Carlisle as a coach, has created this atmosphere of Porzingis is only out there.
He's the floor spacer.
To be a floor spacer.
We need his gravity.
When really,
Porzingis, we need his points.
Porzingis is an all-star.
Yeah.
So you need to do what you can to get him because he's the guy that makes that corner three late in a game on the road and not Maxey. With all due respect to Maxey, stars make those shots.
Well, I don't know how many times this has happened where Luka comes in the fourth quarter at his normal time, and you'd think that Porzingis would come in with him, but he doesn't. It's like one or two possessions, and then Porzingis comes in. And usually in those one or two possessions, it just so happens that something bad happens. And it's like, why didn't you just bring him in 30 seconds earlier?
The minutes is a whole different problem with him. And for that one, I kind of understand, but I don't like how they've created this atmosphere of Porzingis just being a floor spacer. Yeah. You can see it with the guards.
They don't look for him.
They automatically know that because Porzingis is out there, they're going to get an opportunity. And yes, sometimes they do, but sometimes the best shot is a wide open three for Porzingis. And that's really starting to frustrate me. And I think that's a culture that they've developed. And it takes out really the second best player on the team, and it makes him
nothing.
A role player.
He's a paperweight.
And we're talking about the guy got the nickname the unicorn for a reason, and we're not using his skill and talent, and that's really frustrating me. And I know he's coming off of the layoff that he's at, but if you are okay as an organization with accepting this season as a growth season, then why are we allowing him to grow? Like, why are we, his percentages on this play is bad. So do it anyways. Make him get better at it. Help him get back into rhythm.
Like his mid-range, the shots just like don't go in. And it's like, and tonight he forced some drives. He had one really good drive on Rudy where he dunked it. But he forced some drives, and I think
he gets frustrated.
Yeah, or maybe it's just decision making, something you can work on. Like, don't just don't ever do that. But
I just don't like how we've created this culture that he, as a big man, is just out there as a shooter, is just out
to
there
space
to
space
the floor, and you can see it with the ball handlers, and that's got to change in my opinion because he is an all-star. He was an all-star. Now he didn't get to play. I know.
Because he got injured, but he was an all-star.
Yes, and we're not utilizing the all-star. And I know his percentages are going to be low, and I know it's hard coming off a torn ACL, and you're not as efficient as you need to be. But if you're not planning on winning the championship anyways, just ride it. Just do what you're doing with Luka. Do what you did with him last year.
Let him learn.
Just give him the ball and go.
Yeah.
And I think that they're not doing that with Porzingis. They're stifling him and preventing him from doing all these bad mistakes, but allowing everybody else on the team to make these bad mistakes.
You gotta
to
let
grow.
Him blossom.
He's a flower. You gotta
flower.
Let him flower.
You gotta let him blossom. And so it's like, I know this is a random game in the middle of January that they lost against the Utah Jazz in Utah. It's like, you know,
what are we complaining
big
about?
Big picture, I get it. They're going to learn. It's not a big deal. But the reason I'm so frustrated is because I'm seeing the same thing over and over. And you can only see something so many times before you don't want to see it anymore.
You know, this
it gets
is,
old.
Like, this is also a problem. Like, you know, when the Mavs sucked all these last couple of years, you really weren't mad when they lost. Because it's like, well, they suck.
Yeah.
But this is a negative consequence of having a good team. Because when they lose,
it's
especially
like, man,
against
another, you could've won that.
Yes, and then now you're just frustrated because all the things you didn't do, and it was a frustrating loss. I'm not gonna, you know, I'm not throwing in the towel or anything like that.
No,
I definitely think they have things that need to change.
It's not. I'm not frustrated to the point where like I'm done with this season. I think they're still gonna win 50 games. I think they'll obviously be in the playoffs. I think they, depending on the matchup, they might win the first round. Mm-hmm. If it's a bad matchup, they might not. I get it. This is a growing year and they're young. Like, all those things I do still have the perspective on. But, you know, just talking about this game, it's things sucked. That I get tired of seeing. And I know they'll grow out of it. But until they do, every time I see it, I'm going to be like, oh, can we not do this again? Okay, like, yeah, it gets old. So go Mavs.
And, go Luka.
Go Luka. I love Luka. And it's like, it's so hard to say the things like, make your freaking free throws, or stop shooting these terrible threes, or stop complaining, because he is so good. Mm-hmm. And I like him so much. And it's just so awesome as a fan to have a guy that's that good on your team. And so it's really hard to say those things, but, you know,
it's easier to say it you when get they
used
lose.
To, yeah. And you get used to having that player. So you kind of feel like you can say, like, can you work on this a little bit? Like, but anyway, I know that he'll learn. But yeah, this loss was frustrating. So I think the Mavs now drop to sixth place.
They'll probably hover between 4, 5, and 6 for the rest of the year.
Yeah, depending on, you know, health and all of that.
I do think the next game against the Thunder is kind of under the radar a big game.
Yeah.
Because the Thunder are creeping up on them in the standings.
And especially after this game, you know, you want to bounce
and
back.
And the Thunder, I think, play tonight. Let me check.
And the Thunder are very good in crunch time.
Well, they have a good crunch time player. Yeah, in Chris Paul. So tonight the Thunder play Minnesota, and they are currently leading by 4 at halftime.
Yeah, I think if it's a close game, I don't know how I feel about that. And that's, we talked about that in the last episode. They don't know how to win ugly games.
So honestly, if the Thunder win tonight, they're only a game behind the Mavs, which means if they beat the Mavs,
they're tied.
And they would actually move to 6. Yes. So the Mavs, if the Thunder win tonight and the Mavs lose to them on Monday, they will fall to 7th, which would put them against Utah right now in the playoffs. But yeah, I mean,
it's a big game.
It is a big game.
You know, just
they got to win that game.
Yeah. You know, the All-Star break is coming up. You know, the Thunder are really good, but it's not like you're playing the Lakers in LA. You know, it's a somewhat winnable game if you just play hard, like play your game.
OKC's hard to win it. The Mavericks schedule.
Oh yeah,
I mean since the middle of December, I mean they have just had a grueling schedule against, you know, good team after good team after good team on the road, and it's just been, they've had very few lower level teams over the last month.
I don't know. I feel like, I thought I remembered looking at January and thinking,
well, the first 3 games in January were the only 3 games.
Brooklyn, Charlotte, Chicago.
But that's it. And look at the previous 10 and the games after that.
But then they also had Golden State, Sacramento, and Portland. Of course, they won all of those games. Yeah.
But they've Portland. Had...
And then also Utah at the time sucked. So then,
well, they didn't suck, but they weren't as good. Well, they weren't this, good.
So they had Portland, Utah. So it looked a lot easier than it was. So
and then remember that 10-game stretch in December where it was all the travel, Luka got hurt, they went 5-5 in it.
So far this month, they're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They're 7-5.
So
which sounds about right.
Yeah, you got to win. That Thunder game, I think, is important.
Yeah, that's
so
on Monday.
They got to go into that game with thinking that they need to win it.
And they have a back-to-back. The very next night, they play at home versus Phoenix. So
another tough game.
Yeah. Anyways, so that's, you know, I'm still a Mavs fan. I love everyone on the team, and I think they're going to be fine. But those
it sucks
were just,
to lose.
Yeah, those were some feelings, really. I don't even know if those were thoughts. They were more just feelings that I had about the game. If you feel differently, or if you think that I'm an idiot, let me know.
That's not a good idea.
I'm on Twitter at @SydneyMyers. Martin is on Twitter at @MartinLMyers. We have a website, DallasHoopsCast.com.
You know, we are the Mavericks. We are the Dallas Mavericks at closing podcasts.
We suck at it.
We can't close. Our clutched performance at the end of the pod is terrible.
Well, okay. I just like thanking people, and all you want to do is log off, like, immediately.
Well, you say thank you, and at that point, okay, you log off, but you got to say thank you 42 times.
Thank you guys so much for listening.
One.
We really appreciate it. Oh, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, feel free to leave a rating or a review if you enjoy the show. Remember, you can listen to the latest episodes on DallasHoopsCast.com, where you can also read exclusive articles and the latest breaking Mavs news. Thank you guys for listening.
Two.
And we'll see you guys in the next episode.
Only two. All that right. Good
so
job.
That wasn't so bad. Okay. Now we have to end it.
No, just end it.
Okay.
Press stop.
Okay. Goodbye, everybody. Bye. Thank you for listening.
Oh,
bye.
Four. Okay.